I know, I made a mistake. I can't believe it myself. I did. I made a mistake about the messengers of the ecclesias. And I'll tell you why. It's an easy mistake to make. And I'm going to tell you why, because today we're going to talk about angels, which are called messengers. We're going to look at the concordant version of messengers, and we're going to see that it's a translation of a Greek word, angelos, which you would think would be angels, but not always necessarily so. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender. We're going to finish the week here with, you would think, supernatural beings, but no, we're actually going to talk about literal human beings who will be alive in the Lord's day and will be representative of the seven ecclesias, and who will take this letter, this actual letter of the book of Revelation, to their respective ecclesias. Here's what I'm talking about. Let's go to chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 1. To the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus write, and this, when he had a certain message for that ecclesia. But the point is, it's to the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus. And then again in verse 12 of chapter 2 of Revelation, and to the messenger of the ecclesia in Pergamum, to the messenger of the ecclesia. Now, these messengers, I believe now, are human beings. And I'm going to tell you where the confusion comes from. As you know, we are using the concordant version here, and it is an accurate translation. And the concordant will take the Greek word angelos, and they will translate it for what it is. They will translate it for the meaning of the word, not necessarily the nature of the being doing the thing. Because human beings and celestial beings can both be messengers. Now, the concordant version translates angelos across the board messengers, because that's what the word means. And again, either a human being or a spiritual being can bring a message. So it depends on the context. What the King James Version will do here, though, is they will translate this word messengers sometimes and angels other times when they make the judgment of whether this particular messenger in the context is human or divine, or spiritual, let's say. We're going to look at places now where this word appears. I'm going to show you exactly what I mean. The common versions, the King James, NASB, NIV, they always render this word angelos, they always render it messengers when it refers to human beings. Because what would be the use of sending? Here's the main question. As I look at those passages I just read in you, what would be the purpose of sending the letter to an angel? And to the messenger of the ecclesia in Pergamum, to the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus, and so on and so forth, Philadelphia, Thyatira. What would be the purpose of sending this letter to the angel of the ecclesia in Ephesus if it's a spiritual being? Spiritual being doesn't need it. The people need it. And in the synagogue, they did have an officer known as a messenger. I'm going to show you that as well. Look at some of these passages in the scripture. In James 2:25, James says that the spies were sent to search out the land, and he calls them angels. No, he doesn't. He calls them messengers, but it's the Greek word angelos. It's translated messengers here in the common version. In the concordant version, across the board, it's messengers. And it's up to you, it's up to interpretation and context, to figure out, is this human or divine? Is this human or a spiritual being? John the Baptist is three times called an angel or a messenger. Three times. The messenger of the Lord. Messenger of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. And if the King James people were consistent, you can be consistent either way. You can either be consistent and translate this word angel across the board, in which case our entire conception of angel would be changed. Do you understand why? Because then if we looked at the context, John the Baptist called an angel, and yet he's in jail and all this. He's baptizing our Lord. He's eating locusts. He's not a spiritual being. He's a man. But he's also a messenger. And he's called that in Matthew 11:10, Mark 1:2, and Luke 7:27. John the Baptist is called a messenger. John sent messengers to the Lord when he was in prison. He sent messengers in Luke 7:24 saying, "Are you the Christ?" He didn't send angels. He sent people. Go and ask this man, if he's really the Christ. John was having doubts in jail. Who wouldn't? I would. And no, I wouldn't. Yes, I would. I hope I'd never have to find out. So in all these passages, the Authorized, again, correctly translates it messenger. So it's evident that this is the real meaning of the word. That's what we're looking for. Not usage, we're looking for meaning. Meaning is messenger. So this has to do, the meaning has to do with service. A messenger does a service. The service is, takes a message. It's not the nature of the being, because the nature of a being who takes a message, as we see from Scripture, in some Scriptures, it's plainly a celestial being. There's absolutely no question. The messenger Gabriel, who came and appeared to Mary, obviously a spiritual being, but still called a messenger, just like John the Baptist is called a messenger. In fact, the priests in Israel were called gods. I think it's Psalm 82. Ye are Elohim. He called them Elohim, or gods. Same word used to describe the celestial beings that created the earth. So in the case of Elohim, just as in the case of Angelos, we're looking at the service. We're looking at the act itself. What is it? What's being done here? And not the nature of the being doing it, because the nature of the being can change. Well, the nature of the being doesn't change, but we can have different beings with different natures doing the same thing, bringing a message. Or in the case of Elohim, subjecting other things. Elohim means subjector, and an Elohim subjects things. So again, whether a messenger is a spirit or a human being, it's up to the context and the discernment of the reader. And you, my friends, are great discerners of truth, as am I. Well, adequate. And adequate today is far above par. And so we are going to decide from the context. And again, we can ask ourselves, would a letter be given to an angel to take it? Now, it's possible. I'll grant you that. Because the law was given to Moses by the hand of messengers. Is that spiritual being or a physical being? The law came from heaven, so it was an angelic being, a spiritual being that brought the law to Moses. It was still a messenger. So it's possible that to the messenger of the ecclesia in Pergamum, write. However, listen to this little bit of evidence that I think will weigh us in favor that these messengers were people, officers. Only in the synagogue do we find any officer who has a claim to the title of messenger. Now, the title we're most familiar with in the Greek scriptures is the chief of the synagogue. That's the numero uno gaio in Israel. And Mark 5:22, Acts 18:17 tell you about the chief of the synagogue. And he ranked number one. He was head honcho. But below him was the sheliach. Sabur, Shileach Sibur. I don't know. My pronunciations are poor. That's Hebrew. This is a title. This was a messenger of the ecclesia who acted as the mouthpiece of the congregation. In other words, the messenger would, just what I said, act as the mouthpiece of the congregation. Bring the letter. So when John says, or when Jesus says to John, to the messenger of the ecclesia in Pergamum, write. So John is writing to the messenger who will then take the letter to the ecclesia, because the messenger was the mouthpiece of the entire congregation. To the ecclesia, now you understand from yesterday's show, or the day before, was it Wednesday, that I'm talking about the synagogues. The churches, ecclesias, synagogues, all the same thing here in the prophetic section of the book of Revelation. Now, this is why I made the mistake that I made, thinking that we were possibly considering celestial beings here. The context, Revelation 1, verses 17 through 20. Well, let's start with verse 16. This is the John's first vision of Christ in this unveiling. and his voice is as the sound of many waters. And he has in his right hand seven stars. Remember we talked about that when we were dealing with literal or figurative? I was still correct in that the stars are literal. I mean, the stars are a representation of something that is literal. And we're going to see what that is here. Hang with me. In his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth, a sharp two-edged blade is issuing. And his countenance is as the sun appearing in its power. And when I perceived him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he places his right hand on me, saying, "Do not fear. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I became dead, and lo, living am I, for the eons of the eons. And I have the keys of death and of the unseen. Write then what you have perceived, and what they are, and what is about to be occurring after these things. The secret of the seven stars which you perceived in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands." Now he's going to give him the secret. He's going to reveal for John what these things are. Now John saw the seven stars, and he saw seven lampstands. And here is what he says in verse 12. "And I turn about and look for the voice which spoke with me. And turning about, I perceived seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of mankind." This is where I should have started. "Dressed in a garment reaching to his feet, girded about in the breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair white as wool, as snow. His eyes flash. And he had in his right hand seven stars." So, in the midst of seven lampstands stands the Son of God, and in his hand he has seven stars. Now the Spirit is about to reveal to John. Now John saw these things, but these aren't what he was supposed to think of. He saw these things, and now these things represent literal things. The lampstand represented something literal. The stars represented something literal. What? The seven stars are seven messengers, and the seven golden lampstands, these are seven ecclesias. The seven stars are messengers of the seven ecclesias, and the seven lampstands are seven ecclesias. Now we go to chapter 2, verse 1, to the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus. And we know from our historical research that there was such an officer as a messenger in the ecclesias in Israel. He was under the chief of the synagogue. The messenger brought the message. Simple as that. In this case, it's a human being. Why stars? As we close here, why stars? Why are they called stars? I think this is really cool. The symbol of the stars. The reason, why was stars used to symbolize? We asked before why lampstands were used. Why did John see lampstands? Why not, you know, cereal boxes or tire irons or ironing boards? Because the lampstands are illumination, light, and these ecclesias are going to be given light, and they're going to bring light to the world once they're adjusted to the truth. The symbol of the stars, I'm quoting from A. E. Nock here in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, reminds us of the two seeds of Abraham, right? Some are like the sea, some are like the stars. Some are like the sea on the seashore, the others are like the stars of heaven, sand versus stars. The messengers are evidently God's light bearers in the world at its darkest hour before the dawn. So we have the darkest hour in the unveiling of Jesus Christ before the dawn, and we have messengers, officers in a synagogue, in cities in Asia Minor, in the apostasy spread abroad outside of Israel, who are yet being brought light. And here's a quote from Daniel that'll knock it home for you, I think. Daniel speaks of these messengers. He does. Listen to this. Daniel 12:3 from the Concordant Version. "The intelligent shall warn, and they that justify many are as the stars for the eon and further." The intelligent shall warn people, shall warn. These messengers in these seven ecclesias are warning the members of the ecclesias, who will be real people in that day of the coming. They will warn them of the coming of Christ and how they should behave. And they will bring a word from God. And they will justify these people. They will bring them to a knowledge. They'll justify them in that sense. And they will shine as the stars. And what do you know? They're represented by stars to John by Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate prophet.